Izzy Dye had his first recording in 1969. He's had over 50 years of music experience. When Izzy Dye and the management offered me the interview with Izzy, I did not hesitate because I really admire Izzy, and I'll tell him that when he comes on air. But I've always admired him because he's such a showman. Never gives up. The show must go on, and he's that sort of bloke. And I admire people in the music industry that do stuff like that. Well, he's coming down on February 22nd to the Reef Hotel Casino Cairns. He's doing a Mornings in the Arena. Now, Izzy has had an amazing career. I mean, he's worked with people like Lonnie Lee, my good friend Lonnie Lee, who you've heard on this program, John Farnham, who you've heard on this program, Johnny O'Keefe, the Deltones. He spent the 70s touring with international icons such as Roy Orbison, the Beach Boys, the Everly Brothers, the Supremes, the Platters, Ray Charles, just to name a few. So it's a great welcome now to Izzy Dye. Good morning, Izzy.
Good morning, boy. Well, that sounds better than it is, I think, mate.
No. Look, I didn't hesitate. Thanks, to have you on, because I consider you, and I think it is a real compliment, that you are a showman.
Thanks very much. Now, look, I've probably developed that over the years, because I realised that my voice was never going to be as good as Johnny Farnham's or any of the big singers, but I realised that my voice was good enough to get through as long as I could make the show go on. So really, in an early, probably in the late 60s into the 70s, I learned pretty quickly that if you're going to survive in the business that we do, you've got to learn to be a showman or cabaret style. And that was there was no question that it was a great learning curve. But in those days, there was the TV shows to work on, like your Don Lane and all the TV shows. So being able to do the television programs, which are not around today, that was a very good learning curve for us.
No, absolutely, you're right. And one person I mentioned there with the people that you've worked with, people like Johnny O'Keefe. Now, Johnny O'Keefe basically said the same thing you said. Johnny O'Keefe didn't have the most classic voice, but Johnny O'Keefe was a showman, and I'll always take a showman over somebody with a decent voice.
Well, I think it depends. If you're sitting there listening to operetta like Andrea Bocelli or something like that, you know, you want the voice, because you know that the person is not going to do anything that's showy. It's just they're just going to learn. They're going to perform, and the voice will do their job. But in our case, Johnny and myself, we were much more, into the audience. We're much more audience friendly, and we loved jumping in the audience, and I still do. Of course, I missed working with Johnny. I only worked with him in those last 8 years or so of his career. We did a few shows together, live and television. But I learned a lot from the guy, realizing that by the time I met him, he was already in his early 40s, late 30s, early 40s. And he'd been a big star by then. And I thought, gee, what can I learn from this guy? And what I learned was that when he walked out, his presence on stage was what made the show. And I try and make sure that when I'm doing my shows, like the one I'm doing at the Reef Casino, is that I like to interact with the audience, and I make sure the audience know what I'm performing. I don't do any surprise songs. I make sure that I do songs that people do love to sing along with. I think that's part of the job, you know?
Absolutely. And you worked, of course, with somebody that I call a dear friend, very, very good friends with Lonnie Lee. Now, Lonnie Lee is still touring with the Lehman.
He is. He's done, and next year he's going to do, well, this year he's doing another big tour, which is. I mean, he'd have to be almost 80 years of age, and I commend the guy, because I look up to people like him who were there just one set before we came along in the late 60s. He was already there from the early 60s and late 50s. So they were the people that we looked up to on the television shows with Johnny O'Keefe. And Lonnie particularly, I actually sang his song the other day. Yes, indeed, I do remember that song.
Oh, yes, of course.
Mate,
if I had a dollar for every time I've seen Lonnie perform, mate, I would probably have about $500,000.
Yeah,
I have seen his show so many times. I adore the man, and I adore him as a friend, and we're friends, of course, with him and Suzanne, his lovely wife, and I had him on the show only recently. But listen, the song that I associate with you, and I know you've had quite a number of songs and you've been in different bands and what have you, but the one that I love is One Last Kiss.
Oh yeah, well that's the one that I'm actually performing, apart from performing at the Reef, I'm doing it at the Go Show is touring again. Unfortunately, it's not coming to far north Queensland, but we are doing Brisbane, Toowoomba, Melbourne, And the Go Show Gold is with Ronnie Burns, Normie Rowe, Johnny Young. So at that show, we only sing a few songs that people remember us by back in the 60s from the Go Show. And one of them is One Last Kiss. Look, I was lucky that Bye Bye Birdie was a musical in the 50s and that Crash Craddock sang it in the 50s. And then I was lucky enough to take it over in the 70s. So, yeah, it was a great, great song. I love that song, One Last Kiss. Great number.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of it.
Oh, one more time, baby, one more time. You make me feel so fine, baby, so fine. You know I need your love.
Oh, oh, oh.
Give me one last kiss.
Give me one last kiss.
Darling, it isn't right. Why must we say goodbye? Don't let me go like this. Baby, I need you so, but if I have to go, just give me one last kiss. Oh, one last kiss.
When you hear that, what do you think, Izzy?
Thanks, mate. Well, I think of what happened to 45 years, Paul. That's what I think of. Where did it go? Look, when I'm performing at the Reef, and this is my second time there now, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do the Legends of Rock and Roll, so I'll be singing the great songs that I love to sing from the great Johnny O'Keefe, Sing, 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 Shout, all those songs. I'll put in songs from Cole Joy, who's still around, and it's amazing.
Cole,
Bye Bye Baby, I love Cole. Of course, the songs of Elvis Presley, I'll be doing all that.
Oh, mate, what about Cole Joy? You know, bye, 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 baby,
absolutely.
Goodbye.
And, well, that was the first number one, of course. That was the first Australian rock and roll hit, as they call it, for number one in 1959. And the guy still is around today. He's in his mid-80s, but look, he's still there, not performing much, but he's still around, and he's a great icon, and I love almost every show I ever do, I always do a couple of Cole Joy songs. The main thing with my show is it's a nostalgia thing. People come along, they'll see me dressed up in 50s gear, an old man in 50s gear, and I'll have all the fun there. And, of course, I do enjoy reminiscing with all the legends of rock, including Elvis, Buddy Holly and all those guys.
Well, you know, Cole Joy, he lived near me. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Melbourne. But, of course, I did a lot of work in Sydney and Brisbane, but Melbourne mainly, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up at a place called Panania, which is in the western suburbs of Sydney near Bankstown. And
yep.
Cole Joy and his brother, Kevin, they lived in a house with his parents, at East Hills, a place called East Hills in Sydney. It was an old fibro house there. And in fact, after the parents died, Cole and his brother bought that house. But I used to go around there after school and wait for Cole to come home. Mrs. Jacobson had come out the front saying, "Paul, Cole won't be home for another hour. Would you like to
come?" You were stalking then, Paul.
I was stalking Cole Joy.
Isn't that lovely?
And Mrs. Jacobson invited me, and I'd have a cup of tea and a bicky and wait for Cole Joy. Now, I used to tell my mates this, because I didn't take my mates down there because I didn't want to cause any problem. And besides, she wouldn't have enough biscuits for my mates.
That's fantastic.
So I'd wait, and here would Cole Joy. And that's kind of, you know, that's like somebody like Robbie Williams or something of the day walk into that kitchen and say, "Oh, hi, Paul, how are you?" And
the guys like Cole, especially, yeah. You know, they were very down-to-earth type guys, and they never had tickets on themselves. That's why the Australian public has endeared themselves to someone like Cole and Johnny O'Keefe over all the years. They were like that. They were very low, down-to-earth guys. You could get on with them, but they also knew when they were performing, they were the stars of the show, and that was great.
Absolutely. I'm talking to Izzy Dye, who'll be down at the casino, the Reef Hotel Casino, to host Mornings in the Arena. That is Friday, the 22nd of February. And Izzy, and just may I add one little extra, I delivered newspapers to Brian Davies.
Oh, my God. Well, Brian's still going. I mean, again, he'd be 90 now, probably.
Oh, have to be.
Oh, he'd have to be. And, I mean, look, you've got to say, look, remember, once again, people like Brian and his crew, those guys that were around in the 50s and 60s, they were the original guys, and they helped so many entertainers like Jade Hurley and all the big stars. They helped them become, the big stars of Australian television. And we owe them a great debt of gratitude, for sure.
Yeah, well, of course, Jade Hurley, he was discovered by J.O.K., Johnny O'Keefe, in a pub. in a pub, and he actually rang Jade Hurley up the next day and said, get in a taxi, come over to my place. And he came over and he actually started Jade's career off, J.O.K.
Always talks about that. I see Jade quite often.
Yeah.
He lives in Sydney, but he tours a lot, and he comes to Melbourne, and I go to Queensland, and when I'm up on the Gold Coast doing the Coolie, I'm actually the ambassador this year for Coolie Rocks On, the big festival in June. I'm going to be the festival rock and roll ambassador when we have all the rockers come, and we get 100,000 rock and rollers come and dance in the streets, Paul. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be fantastic.
That's in the middle of the year. Yep, it is. It's great. But it's all about this next Friday. I'm looking forward to coming to the casino again. Anyone that does come along, please come along and say hello, that you've heard the radio chat with me and Paul. And I'll bring a few CDs for sale if anyone wants to come and grab something as a memorabilia for sure.
Absolutely. Now, just before I let you go, you toured with an Al Jolson show. Now, I'll just play a little bit of it for the folks. Wow, Al Jolson. Now, I love...
I'm still doing that, Paul. I'm glad you like the Jolson, because I'm still touring with the Jolson, but of course it's so different, nothing like the rock and roll. But in saying that, Al Jolson was the original cabaret entertainer. He was the man that even Elvis Presley used to talk about. This is the guy that would get out there and entertain the audience. And so one thing I learned from the Al Jolson music was, again, it connects with the audience. I've been lucky enough to do over 2,000 Al Jolson shows, and I'm still doing them. Not as many as I used to, of course, but I am touring with the Jolson. If anyone gets the opportunity to come and see one of those, I'm sure they'll enjoy it. It is really reminiscing, isn't it, mate?
It is. I love Al Jolson. Of course, he was
Thanks, mate.
He was the greatest entertainer of his time. He was also the first man to appear, the first star of the first talking picture ever,
yes, which was in 1927, the jazz singer.
The jazz singer.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And that was very early days. But again, he'd already been a star for more than 10 years by the time the jazz singer came out. So already he'd honed he was already the best on stage at the time. And all they really needed to do at that stage was roll the film, and Al Jolson was just going to do what he does. Al Jolson.
That's right. Izzy Dye, good luck on this. Can I just ask you one question about the Al Jolson thing? And it just came to mind this morning. People say blackface is not PC these days. So how do you get around that? And has anybody ever had a go at you about that?
Well, of course they did. About probably 5 years ago, maybe. That's since about 5 years now, I've not been doing it in blackface. Only because I don't want to upset anybody. In fact, most people say to me, can you do the Al Jolson in blackface? And I say, look, no. If it's politically not right, I don't want anyone to get upset about it. But what I realized when I went back and had another look at Jolson's career was most of Jolson's career, he was in the whiteface. It was only in a very, very small amount of shows that he actually was blackface. So I do the reverse, and that is I just tell the story of Jolson, and I do the costuming, but yes, I don't do it in the blackface anymore, but I still do the songs.
Okay. Izzy Dye, it's been a great pleasure talking with you,
mate,
this morning. We'll put this podcast up on our Facebook page, and also the details of Friday, the 22nd of February. Chookers for that day, mate, and good luck for
Thanks
the future.
Thanks very, very much. No, I really appreciate it, Paul, and anyone that comes down, please come and say hello. We'd love to see you at the casino next Friday, and thanks very much for the chat, mate. Appreciate it.
See you, Izzy.
See you, mate.
Bye. That's Izzy Dye there on Fab FM. No, he's a great entertainer, as I started with saying that I admire him so much for, you know, his tenacity to be still doing it after 50 years. And he is a showman, and by golly, you can't get any better than that.